The Kimballs shared this with me, and it makes a good point as we go into Proverbs for the 14th Sunday morning together. It's entitled Perspective. It illustrates the truth of Romans 8:28. A minister was attending a men's breakfast. He asked one of the older farmers in attendance to say the prayer that morning. The farmer began, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor opened one eye and wondered to himself where this prayer was going. Then the farmer said, "Lord, I hate lard." Now the pastor was really worried, but the farmer prayed on, "And Lord, you know I don't care much for raw flour." As the pastor was about to stop everything, the farmer continued his prayer, "But Lord, when you mix them all together and bake them up, I do love me those fresh biscuits. So Lord, when things come up I don't like, when life gets hard, when I just don't understand what you are saying, teach me the need to relax and wait till you are done fixing. And probably, Lord, it will be something even better than biscuits. In Jesus' name, amen." Marvin shared with us, had a hard morning, and his son Zachary's been on our prayer list. I sure hope you use those prayer lists. The Lord said, "You have not because you ask not." He said, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." We need to be praying. We need to be praying for one another. Appreciated Marvin coming up and sharing that no temptation or trial has taken any of us, but such as is common to people. And God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 10:13. And he will not allow us to be tempted or tried beyond what we are able, but with that temptation and trial, he will provide a way of escape so that we can survive it, bear up under it. And so Marvin this morning was dealing with Zachary, and I think Zachary's in a good place, so keep the Lockwood family in your prayers. Use the prayer list. It makes a difference. I want you to join me in Proverbs chapter 1. And you know, you could take one proverb and spend a whole sermon on it. That would be 1,000 sermons, because there's almost 1,000 proverbs in this 31-chapter book. So I have chosen to take it each week by topic and to survey it, to look at what God is saying to us on certain topics throughout the book of Proverbs. Proverbs are God's guidelines for life and living. They are practical, they are pointed, they are picturesque, as we will see again today. They are statements intended to impart insight into life and living. Lord, help us to pay attention to your Proverbs, given through Solomon 1,000 years before Christ. And all the way through the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord and faith in the Lord is the foundation for wisdom. It's the first steps towards a wise life, recognizing that God is and relying on him by faith. We have looked, as we began this series, at the book, and we've looked at the human author of the book, Solomon. And then we have looked at the true friend, what Proverbs says about friendship. We have looked at the talker 2 Sundays in a row, what Proverbs says about our speech. We have looked at the arrogant, proud person in Proverbs versus the humble person. We've looked at the angry person in Proverbs versus the patient person. We've looked at the lazy versus the diligent, the liar versus the truthful. We've looked at the fool versus the wise. We've looked at the wicked versus the righteous. And we've looked at the generous giver, two Sundays, the good steward. Last week, we considered what Proverbs says to a wise son and daughter on Mother's Day, and we talked about the fact that all of us are sons and daughters to somebody. This week, we are going to look at Proverbs that deal with the future end. We're going to look at people of promise, according to Proverbs. We're going to look at folks that have a future in Proverbs. And what Proverbs has to say about people of promise and folks with a future is very different than what the world will tell us in its lies and its short-sightedness. Also, as we look at people of promise, we look at those who choose choices that are not in line with the Lord or His Word or the Proverbs, and we look at the consequences. So there are people here of promise with a future, and there are people whose future, according to God, is very grim. You know, this is our 14th Sunday in Proverbs. As the Lord leads me, we'll see how many more we do. But no matter how many more sermons we do on Sunday morning in Proverbs, this is a book you and I need to read on our own and be reminded of the sweet, smart advice from heaven that God has for us for living. Chapter 1 and verse 19 is where we start today. Such is the end, we're talking about the future, of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. In our world today, there is so much fraud, so much cheating, so much stealing, so much lying in business transactions. Taking advantage of the other guy, get to him before he can get to you. Proverbs says, the future for all ill-gotten gain is that it destroys the very person who's done it. Isn't that interesting in verse 19? The end of all ill-gotten gain takes away the very lives of those who cheated to get it. Now, you'd look around at life today and you'd say, I see some people living pretty well that probably haven't followed all the rules. But please remember, we're listening to God. We're listening to God through Solomon, who was given superior wisdom in answer to his prayer. We're seeing God's perspective on ill-gotten gain, not the world's. We're seeing the long term, not the short term. And as you go through Proverbs, it's not just about finances. This business of folks with a future and people of promise, it has to do with choices and consequences in every area of life, as we're going to see as we continue to survey this morning. Chapter 5 is where we want to be next, verse 3. Let's go from the financial to the moral. When Proverbs and Solomon is advising a son, please keep in mind it's also advising a daughter. And if Solomon advises sons about women, he's also advising daughters about men. Keep that in mind as we read through it. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, Proverbs 5:3, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Sons, stay away from immoral women. Daughters, stay away from immoral men who will take advantage of you. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the daughter of her, the door of her house, lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. At the end of your life, this is what we're talking about today, folks with a future, people of promise, at the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. Give yourself, God says through Solomon, to sexual immorality in your life, and it will destroy you emotionally, physically, spiritually. There are all kinds of diseases associated with homosexual and heterosexual immorality. There were diseases in Solomon's day when the Holy Spirit had him to write, at the end of your life, your flesh and your body are spent. A life of immorality. Today we have some drugs that take care of some of our STDs, but we've got, as you know, things that are incurable and really hang on. And Proverbs talks about watch out. There's consequences to your choices morally. Look at chapter 6, verse 23. People of promise, folks with the future, in terms of this life and eternity, make choices that are wise out of the fear of the Lord and faith in Him. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. These commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to life. We're talking about a future. You say, but these commands, they're a killjoy. They keep me from too much fun. No, it's the way to life, God says through Solomon. Look at verse 24. Keeping you from the immoral woman or man, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife or husband, do not lust in your heart after her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes, for the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread and the adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. People complain that the Bible is hard to understand. Is this hard to understand? The seventh commandment in Exodus 20:14 of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not commit adultery. The last page of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15, say that no adulterers go to heaven unless they are washed in the blood of the Lamb and by grace freely forgiven for their immorality. Immorality, God says, will not go unpunished. It will come back to haunt you. So we're talking about choices and consequences. We're talking about being people of promise, folks with a future, people who fear the Lord and follow His commands. It's the way to life. God's word is not given to us. His commands are not given to us to ruin our lives. Quite the opposite is true. The world, the flesh, and the devil would have us to think that God's commands will ruin our fun. But God's commands are clean, and they're for our own health and happiness. So we're talking about people of promise, people who follow God by faith and fear Him and do things His way. Immorality will not end well. Chapter 9, verse 12. We've talked about the financial there in chapter 1 and the moral. And now we look at this attitude, this rebellion. Look at verse 12 of Proverbs 9. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. Remember the beginning place, the first steps of wisdom, fear the Lord, faith in Him, following the Lord. If you are wise, if you have a good relationship with God, your wisdom will reward you. It will be good for you in the end. But the contrast, if you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. What is a mocker? A mocker is a one who ridicules, who scorns, insults, rebels against God and against others around him. If you're wise, you'll be rewarded. Right with God, right with others. But if you're a rebellious mocker, scorner, insulter, ridiculer, you alone will suffer for that. It'll come back to haunt you. Chapter 10, verse 24. People of promise, folks with a future, are folks who fear the Lord and follow His advice. God says in Proverbs 10:24, what the wicked dreads will overtake him. When we do the wrong thing, it plunges us into guilt and into fear and into despair. What the wicked dreads will overcome him. When a person has made wrong choices, knowing full well what it could cost, just the dread of the results. What the wicked dreads will overtake him. How about the opposite? What the righteous desire will be granted. The Lord says in His Word, delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in the Lord and the things of the Lord. Find satisfaction in the Savior, and He will surely satisfy you. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. What is a righteous person? The Bible says none are righteous, no, not one. A righteous person is righteous by faith. Romans 3, 22 to 24. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is a righteousness God provides to those who come to Him by faith. It's paid for by Jesus. Read Romans 3, 22 to 24. What the righteous desire, those who are right with God by faith and walk in light of His word, will be granted. Verse 25, when the storm is swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. There are storms in life. Jesus talked about this, but He says, when your life is based on me as your foundation, you will survive the storms. But for those who don't have God and don't have faith in God, the storms simply sweep them away. But the righteous stand firm forever with the Lord. Look at verse 27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. We're talking this morning about the future and consequences of choices. We're talking about people of promise, folks with a future, because they fear the Lord and place their faith in Him. Look at verse 28. The prospect of the righteous is joy. There is joy in serving Jesus. But the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. When you have made wrong choices and the wrong consequences come down on you, What has your life been for? When you make wrong choices and then you find out the hard way over the long haul that what you have lived for and served and loved and cared about is empty, vain, and useless, your life comes to nothing. The hopes of the wicked, those who are proud, rebellious, don't need God, their lives come to nothing. But for the righteous, there is joy now and forevermore. Look at verse 29. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the righteous, but it is the ruin of those who do evil. The ways of the Lord will be found out by all in the end to be right. Verse 30, the righteous will never be uprooted, but the wicked will not remain in the land. The righteous are grounded in God. But those who oppose God, there's no stability. There's no future. It's amazing how the Proverbs hit this again and again and again and again. Chapter 11, verse 5. The righteousness of the blameless. Remember, we're declared righteous in God's sight by faith in Him. We place our faith in the Lord. Lord, help us to follow You closely. Help us to follow Your word. When we do that, a blameless walk with God makes for a straight path. But those that are wicked, theirs is the way of sin, disregard for God and His word, are brought down by their own wickedness, self-destruction. The Bible says the evil one goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour and destroy. We can destroy ourselves by our own choices. The most important thing about any person is their relationship to God. The most important person who has ever lived in human history is Jesus Christ, and the most important decision you will ever make in your life is what you do with Jesus. The song we were singing before the choir sang was about opening your life to Jesus, allowing Him to come in, your Creator, your Savior. Look at verse 7, chapter 11 still. When a wicked man dies, his hope perishes. A wicked man is a person who doesn't care about God in Proverbs, doesn't care about God's word. His own self-existence is the center of his universe. Do you know anybody like this? They're all wrapped up in themselves. It's cliche, but it's true. A person who is all wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. Caring about God and caring about others expands our existence. God would deliver us from the selfishness and sinfulness that is so satanic, opposing to God. When a wicked man dies, he's got no hope. Leave God out of the equation, and what have you got? All he expected, the end of verse 7 says, from whatever he achieved, whatever power, whatever prosperity, whatever fame, all he expected from his power comes to nothing. Think of powerful people in recent history whose lives came to nothing. Several names come to my mind immediately. We're talking about being people of promise, folks with a future. Don't leave God out if you want to have a future. Verse 18 of chapter 11. The wicked man earns deceptive wages. kind of goes back to the financial, but it's also talking about the wages of our sin in every area of life. But he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. You choose to live a sinful life because you say, that's the fun way to go. Nope. But he who goes God's way and does it right reaps a sure reward. This is all through the Proverbs. Look at verse 19. The truly righteous man attains life. Let Jesus take your sin and give you his righteousness. That's what the gospel's all about. But reject Jesus, and he who pursues evil goes to his death. Verse 21. Be sure of this. Count on this. Know this. The wicked will not go unpunished. You're kidding me. The wicked seem to be having so much fun. They do whatever they want. They say whatever they want. They support whatever they want. They not only get involved in sin, but they encourage others to do it too. They laugh at what the Lord cries over. Be sure of this. The wicked in the United States of America will not go unpunished. Neither will the wicked anywhere else at any other time. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Be sure of this. We live in such a wicked world that we tend to get used to it. There is so much ugliness. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Every act, the Bible says, will be brought to judgment. That's why each and every one of us needs a Savior, because we cannot stand up under judgment. Our thoughts, the intents of our hearts, the motives of our lives, our attitudes, our words, our actions are all going to come under scrutiny, the Bible says, at the final judgment. That's why we need a Savior who bore our sins for us. Because the wicked will not go unpunished. Let Jesus take your punishment is the good news of the gospel, or either be punished yourself. John 3:36, he who receives the Son has eternal life. But he who rejects the Son will never see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Wow. Be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished. You can read about it in Proverbs, you can read about it in the Gospel of John. But those who are righteous, at the end of verse 21, will go free. The righteous are set free. Jesus sets me free from my sin, from guilt, from death, from hell. Those who are right with God will be forgiven and free. Lord, forgive my sins, fill me with your Spirit, free me from my sins, and lead me in a fruitful life. Lord, please. Only Jesus can set us free from our sins and our guilt and from death and from hell. Proverbs can be pretty heavy, can't it? Yes. Look at verse 23. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. When you're walking with the Lord, the Lord is helping you to desire and to delight in what is good. It ends in good. But the hope of the wicked only in wrath. John 3:36. I already quoted it. Verse 25. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. I like receiving. Receiving is fun. Opening Christmas presents and birthday presents, that's great. Receiving is good. Jesus says giving is even better. If receiving is good, giving is even better. You can't outgive God. Remember, we spent two Sundays on giving. Here, though, is the idea of the hope and the joy of the generous, sharing person. God is a giver. God says, you give, you gain more. You can't outgive me. You withhold, you stingy thing, and you'll come to poverty. Verse 25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Serve the Lord and serve others. Be generous with God and man. It'll come back to you. Choices have consequences. Chapter 12, verse 2. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but the Lord condemns a crafty man. A man cannot be established through wickedness. You can choose to do the wrong thing, but it will not establish your life. You will not find stability, peace. You will not find a good life by doing bad things. But the righteous cannot be uprooted. Firm foundation the righteous have in a right relationship with God and others. Verse 7, wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. And you say, but Pastor, I watch the news, and it seems like all over the world, wicked people are winning. That's why you don't just need the news, you need your Bible. Because it may appear for a time that the Adolf Hitlers and the Saddam Husseins and the Fidel Castros, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. It may seem like for a time in the present, the bad guys are winning. Proverbs will assure you, if you want to look at life as God looks at it, is if you want to evaluate life wisely, the bad guys have a bad end. And the good and the godly win. You say, how can that be? The good and the godly win in the end. The Lord guarantees it. And He's on the throne. In the book of Psalms, we find that God is on His throne and He is not uptight about rebellion in His world. The Psalms tell us God laughs at those who oppose Him, because they can't touch Him, they can't move Him. Jesus willingly went to that cross and did what was planned before the foundation of the world. He said to Pilate, I could call my servants from my kingdom and they would instantly deliver me. Pilate represented the Roman Empire, and Jesus said to Pilate, you have no power over me, Pilate, except it's allowed by God above, and this is His plan. The wicked don't win. It's all through Proverbs. How many have we looked at? I've skipped some, and we're only at chapter 12. The wicked don't win. The wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm, because the Lord makes it so. Verse 28, we're going to stop here today. And next Sunday morning, we've got chapter 13 through 31. In the way of righteousness, there is life. The good news of the gospel is Jesus will give us His perfect righteousness and pardon our unrighteousness if we will have Him. Whosoever will may come. In the way of righteousness, there is life, abundant life now, eternal life forever. Along that path is immortality. Solomon lived 1,000 years before Christ. He reigned over Israel at the height of Israel's power and glory in history. Solomon was recognized as the most powerful and the wealthiest of the rulers of the world, and foreigners traveled to hear his wisdom and to see the splendor God had blessed Solomon with. But Solomon has been dead for 3,000 years, and he only lived to be 60. So he had 60 years on this life. I'm going to be 60 in 14 months. Solomon died at 60. So what Solomon is doing and what God is doing by his Holy Spirit through Solomon is he's getting us to take the long view. Solomon says, in the way of righteousness there is life, abundant and eternal. Walk with God. Receive the righteousness he gives to you. Rightly live before God by faith, fearing him. Because along that path is immortality, eternity with God in heaven. Comes from a rightly relationship. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto God in heaven but through by me. And here's Solomon in the Old Testament. They were saved by faith in the Old Testament, just like the New. And Solomon is saying there is eternity and immortality for those who are right with God. There's life, abundant, full, free. But run from God, rebel against him, do your own thing, live selfishly, live immorally, live rebelliously. You'll come to a sorry end. But run to God, receive his righteousness, walk with the Lord. Pay attention to his wisdom. That's a path that leads to eternity and immortality. Wow. Proverbs has a lot to say about choices and consequences. Lord, help us to choose you. And whether our Bible is our favorite color or not, help us to open it and read it. And we're going to do a little bit longer in Proverbs on Sunday mornings, but then it'll be up to you to open this book and read it and read it and read it. God, help us to make wise choices because we know that you love us and we want to love you back. We know that Jesus lived and died for us and rose again, and we want to live for you and with you. Lord, I pray that every person in this room would hear your word and heed it. I pray that we would all listen to you and open our hearts to you. Lord, forgive us our many sins. Free us from them. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And whatever short time we've got left on this planet, help us to live fruitful lives for you. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the blessed hope, for the promise, for the future. Thank you for your guarantees to those who come to you by faith. You said to us, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, heaven, there ye may be also. Thank you, Lord, for your promises that cannot fail. And we would agree with your word. We would agree with its wisdom. We look around us and we see people who are living for themselves and they're miserable. But Lord, we thank you for the joy and the peace and the hope and the stability and the bright future that comes to those of us who choose you. people of the book, people of prayer, people of promise. Lord, if anybody's here today and they need to say, Lord Jesus, save me, help them to do that. For you have told us if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved from their sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for dying and rising again for me and for every person in this room and every person on earth. Thank you, Lord, for being a God of love, grace, hope, joy, peace, faithfulness, mercy. Thank you for being a God of wisdom and for sharing your wisdom with us if we'll pay attention to it. Lord, help me and all of us to pay attention to your wisdom. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Let's all stand, please. Number 491, please. Hiding in Thee. Number 491. 491, please.
Oh, save to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Hiding in thee, hiding in thee, the blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in the calm of the noontide, in sorrow's lone hour, in times when temptation casts o'er me its power, in the tempest of life on its wide heaving sea, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Hiding in thee, hiding in thee, the blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. Hiding in thee, hiding in thee, the blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee.
If you have any questions about anything that has been set up here today, come ask me after church. Something that you want me to pray about with you, come up and we'll do that. Because we are hiding in Thee, we have every hope. Amen. No matter what happens. Hiding in Thee, we have every hope. And in the end, the good guys win. The God of all the universe sees to it and guarantees it. Have a great Sunday. Come back tonight at 6:00.